and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour, coming to you live from our studio here in Baltimore, Maryland, at the home of Greater Grace World Outreach. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me today, Pastor Love. Pastor John Love will be talking about identity again here and being made in the image of God as we continue our theme through the week. Of course, we invite you to be a part of the program in a couple of ways. You can call us at 1-800-338-7060, or if you're local here in Baltimore or outside of North America, you could use the 410-483-3700 number and talk to us. That'd be a great way to do it. Also, some of you are watching at Facebook Live, others at YouTube, and others at our program website, gracehour.org. There's places for you to type in comments, and those comments will come up on the screen here for us to read, and so we'll share them with our worldwide audience. So don't be afraid to write your comment out that way, and again, really, we would love to hear your voice, so don't be afraid to share your thoughts that way, calling us at those phone numbers that I just shared. And we're here to encourage you and to bless you online. But also, we are a part and an outreach of a local church that's very active here in East Baltimore. And part of that activity happens tonight at 6025 Moravia Park Drive in East Baltimore. We have a service this evening, a midweek service beginning at 7 o'clock. Come on out and sing with us, listen to the Word of God, and hang out. We have a cafe on campus. We love to hang out after the service and talk about what we just heard. So come on out tonight at 7 o'clock. Again, the address, 6025 Moravia Park Drive. The zip code, 21206. You can plug that into your device, and you can be guided to our campus here. Big parking lot, children's program for young teens and preteens, and also a nursery for those in that age group, and also a room for mothers or parents who have children under 12 months of age. So it's all here. It's all here, and it's great to get together in the middle of the week. Maybe, you know, there's a reason why Wednesday has become known as the hump day, and we with the church service would like to help you get over the hump. So tonight, 7 o'clock, we invite you to be a part of our gathering. And right now, let's talk about the identity of God with Pastor Love.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. And yeah, I'm looking forward to hump day today and tonight, the service that will get us over the hump, needless to say, as we gather together with God's people, worship Him, and listen to a message from the Word of God. I think we're all especially excited. Pastor Schaller has been out of town for a couple of weeks, out of country, really, but back, and we look forward to hearing from him tonight here at our midweek service, and hope you can join us as well. Well, today, our theme, in context of our theme for the week, which is having a healthy identity, discovering who we are in Christ, we'll talk about what it means to be made in the image of God, and how being made in the image of God ties in directly with our identity. So in Genesis chapter 1, after we read about God creating the world as we know it, verse 27 leads us to this great truth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And I have a sneaky suspicion, Pastor Steve, that they both knew what gender they were. I think Adam knew he was a man, and Eve knew she was a woman. Things have gotten pretty complicated since that time God created man in the garden, but we'll talk about that a little later in our broadcast. But now, turning over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, listen to what it says there. Now, we all... And remember the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's in relationship to Moses and the ministry of the new covenant that God has given to us through the finished work of Christ. But he's comparing that old covenant with the new covenant. And he reminds us that in the old covenant, Moses was able to enter into the presence of God and to behold that presence. And when he did, the glory of God's nature was revealed in Moses. So much so that the Bible tells us that when he came down from the mount after being in the presence of God and appeared before the people, the children of Israel, that his countenance radiated with that glory. And as a result, he had to put a veil over his face because the children of Israel could not even look upon him because of that glory. So verse 18 says, now what was once available just to Moses, notice this in verse 18, it says, but we all, again, something that was only once available to one man, Moses, is now available to all believers. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Friends, as believers and as those who trust the veracity and the truth of the Bible, we know that we were created by God. We were created in His image. We also realize that the purpose for which God created us in His own image was to reveal His glory. And I think that that's the secret of truly understanding our identity. When we actually reveal the one or reflect the one in whose image we were made. I want to share with you a story from the Second World War. The year was 1941. A gentleman, a soldier, an American soldier by the name of G.W. Tweed, looked across the Pacific waters at an American ship that he could see on the horizon. He had been hiding on the island of Guam for almost 3 years. Rather than being taken captive by the Japanese at that time, he decided to move into the jungle and again found his way around that jungle for the next 3 years. Can you imagine that? The Japanese occupied that island in 1941 when he was there along with so many other soldiers, and he hid in that jungle the whole time. And survival did not come easy. But in his mind, it was better than being captured by the enemy and finding himself in a POW camp or even being put to death. So 3 years later, or about 3 years later, July 1944, he spotted this American vessel on the Pacific Ocean. What he did is when he sensed that this was an American vessel, a friendly vessel, he ran up the hill, got on top of a cliff, and reached in the pack that he had when the enemy first invaded that island and he ran into the jungle to survive. He had a backpack with him and he pulled out a small mirror. And he used the mirror to send out signals. He sent out an SOS signal. And one of the sailors on that vessel saw it and they sent a rescue party to Tweed and they rescued him. After, again, surviving on that island for 3 years. And he said, once being rescued by the group of soldiers that came off that boat, he said he was so glad that he had that mirror. Because if he didn't have that mirror to send out those signals, he would not have been rescued. The point we want to share with you today, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, is that simply, we are God's mirrors. We are the ones, we're the tool, if you will, that God uses, that heaven uses, to send its message to the rest of the world. And as believers, you can almost reduce the human job description down to this one phrase. This is what it is. We were made to reflect God's glory. Again, that's the message from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It literally says we can reflect, like mirrors, the glory of the Lord. You know, one translation says that we behold as in a mirror. Another translation says that we are reflecting who he is like mirrors. Well, someone asked the question, which one of those translations is right? Both of them are. One says beholding, the other says reflecting. In other words, we can become mirrors that brightly reflect the very nature and glory of who God is. We get a chance for people to see that glory through our lives. Just like Moses on that mountain, after beholding God, he couldn't help but reflect the nature of who God was. The brightness that he saw was the brightness he became. And I think it goes without saying that this principle is absolutely the truth. We become what we behold. You think about it. Spend too much time in front of a television, you'll become a walking TV commercial. You'll reflect everything that you are beholding. And I think recently I read that perhaps the average American is watching up to 7 hours of television daily. That's incredible. Think about the principle. We will become what we behold. Well, Moses was beholding God without any televisions, without an iPhone, without an iPad, without any modern technology. He was in the presence of God, and beholding that presence led to him reflecting that presence. Did Paul mean when he wrote these words to the Corinthians, did he mean that we are beholding as in a mirror? The answer is yes. Did he mean that we should be reflecting who God is, the one that we're beholding, like a mirror? The answer is yes. Because that word, behold, is a fascinating word. It means to study, to stare. We're not talking about a casual look or a simple glance. We're talking about God just becomes the entire field of vision in our souls. That's how we need to look at him. In other words, some illustrations. Look at his strength. Look at the strength of God. All too often, you know what we have a tendency to do? To look at our own strength. We get discouraged, and we realize that it's in short supply, or we realize that that resource is coming quickly to an end. But look at the strength of God. He never tires. He never becomes weary. Look at the purity of God. He is without spot or blemish, perfectly righteous. Look at the love of God. You can't even measure it because it's without measure. Look at the grace of God. There's absolutely no end to that grace. The principle is this: just like that mirror was so invaluable in the hands of that soldier, G.R. Tweed, so you and I can become like mirrors in God's hands, reflecting the very light of God's character. I mean, didn't Jesus say this, that we, like he himself, would be the light of the world? Doesn't the Apostle Paul bring that out in the book of Ephesians, that we are light in the Lord, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8? And we are to reflect the light of who God is as we make our way through the journey of life? You know, the Bible says something fascinating in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, and we can learn this. Granted, it is a process, but it's a process that all of us can enter into and learn. And it's simply this, that whatever you do, you can do it to the glory of God. Whether you eat, or whether you drink, or whether you are with other people, fellowshipping in their midst, whatever you do, you can do it to the glory of God. Think about it. If you're a truck driver today and you're listening to the broadcast, drive that truck to the glory of God. If you're a car mechanic, fix that automobile today to the glory of God. If you are, selling coffee at a local coffee shop, make that coffee for your patrons to the glory of God. If you're cleaning a facility, a building, even a restroom, do that to the glory of God. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, whatever, yes, means whatever. We have this great opportunity to shine like lights before men, but not just the shining or the radiance of our natures, of who we are personally. No, we get this great opportunity to reflect the very glory of who God is. In other words, we can let our salvation reflect the glory of who God is. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul wrote and told us and reminds us to let our bodies reflect the glory of who God is. Think about that. Your body becomes the tool, the instrument to reveal the glory of God. He reminds the Corinthians in that passage. He says to them, "What don't you know? Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the living God? It's not your own to do with as you please, perhaps as we once did with our bodies, with our minds, with our lives, but having been redeemed and having been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus, now our body becomes a tool to reflect the glory of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 actually says that you can use your struggles to glorify God. Imagine that. Sometimes we have this tendency to think that our struggles only exist so that we can get rid of them, remove them. God says that your struggles can also be used to reflect the glory of who God is. How about your success? I think many of us would say, "I wish my success would glorify God more than my struggles." Well, perhaps in some cases it could be. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says that very thing. Let your success glorify God. And then when Paul wrote to the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, he said, "Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all to the glory of God." Let's remember, He is the source. We're just like the glass. We're like the mirror. He's the light. Again, we're just the mirrors that give God an opportunity to reflect His nature through our lives. He simply sends the message. We reflect it to the world that we live in. And friends, when we operate in that truth, when we find ourselves functioning in that reality, remembering, of course, that we were made by God, created by God, and made in His image and likeness. And ultimately, we exist to glorify Him. Now, someone might say, "Well, it seems as though if I were to accept that position in my life, that I would be revealing God's identity, not my own." I would say amen, because it's really not about us. We were not made by God to live in this world to reflect who we are. We were made by God to live in this world to reflect the One who made us. Because it's not about us. And I think that when we grasp that truth and we come to an understanding of that reality, that life really isn't about us, I think that this is why so many people are so frustrated, so unfulfilled, because they spend so much of their lives, if not the totality of their lives, trying to reveal who they are. But friends, let's be honest about it. We're not wonderful, but He is. We're not glorious, but He is. And it's really not about us. It's about the One who made us. And we were made in His likeness. And we were made for His glory. I want to encourage you today, take the opportunity, the gift that we call today, the present moments, and use those moments to reflect the glory of God. You will never look back on a life that was used to reflect the character and nature of God. You will never regret the fact that you chose to exchange your identity for the identity of Christ, and then to reveal Him and to reflect Him in a lost and dark world. You will never look back on that kind of life with regret. and say, oh, I wish I had lived for myself. You think about it. I was contacted recently by a group hoping to come here to the nation's capital. We're in close proximity here in the Baltimore area to Washington, D.C. And they want to come, and they want to, for the first time in some instances, visit all of the memorials in our nation's capital. And think about it. All of those memorials, they are not built for someone who said, I want to live for myself. They're all built to reflect sacrifice. People who exchanged their very lives so that this nation could exist. You don't find any memorials built to individuals that lived without sacrifice or that simply existed so they could show the world who they were and what they accomplished. No, it was sacrifice. Every memorial in Washington, D.C. reflects the nature of people losing something to gain something greater in return. Can't we live the same way? We have the opportunity to do so. And what a great blessing it is when you realize that you can exchange. And it doesn't mean you lose your personality. It doesn't mean that you lose your individuality. It just means that you say, God, I am willing to sacrifice my reputation so that yours can be seen in this world. I am ready to lose my identity so that people can see the glory and the nature of God. And what does this world need now more than ever? It really doesn't need you, and it doesn't need me. It needs God. And we get a chance to reveal who he is. Yes, we were created by him, but we were created in his image and his likeness, and we were created to reflect his glory. And we have that chance. What was once only available to Moses is now available to all believers. And I've underlined that word in my Bible, but we all have a chance by beholding to reflect his glory. Not some of us, not the strongest of believers, not the wisest of believers, not the most mature, not the ones who have proven themselves faithful, all of us. We get to reflect the greatness of God's glory. And you cannot spend your life doing anything better than that. Father, we ask you to bless these thoughts today, grateful for the opportunity to share them with our Grace Hour family and friends. And bless the rest of our broadcast now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Love. This is Pastor Steve Androlonis. This is the Grace Hour coming to you online live from Baltimore. And we open things up here a little bit now that the original expression of our theme and thoughts on that theme from Pastor Love have concluded. Now it's your turn to share what you have to think about it. 1-800-338-7060, toll-free number in North America. Use it. The call is free. We pick up the tab there. If you're in the Baltimore area or worldwide, we have this number for you, 410-483-3700. If you're at Facebook Live, there's a space there. Of course, you can type in a comment there if you don't want to call and share your voice with us. And also at YouTube Live, we can see that. And we can receive all of those comments here in a stream. And we hear the one from Tess here, profound message. Thank you, Pastor Love. Regards from Sweden. So there you go. Got a message from Sweden there. And thankful for that. Worldwide audience, thank you. The image of God, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? As Pastor Love said, like finding our identity, reflecting who God is, being made as a representation. And so God didn't give us a whole list, a checklist to say, this is what it means to be made in my image. This is what it means to be in my image. He just made this declaration. And it's a very profound declaration. We do hear a lot about original sin, and that's a critical juncture in the story of humanity, because God saw what he made, and God saw that it was very good. And he set man in dominion as his representative. That's a an important element. When we read through these first couple chapters of Genesis, we see what man was made for and how he was made and how God viewed this capacity that he was giving to man to be a caretaker of this world, to be a caretaker of himself, and to fellowship with him. And let's not lose that original identity. In fact, this is the, if we go to Acts chapter 17, we see that this was the basis that Paul was arguing with a great gathering of philosophers in Athens, outside of Athens, on Mars Hill, a place of debate. And these philosophers wanted to hear what Paul was preaching. And he came to this conclusion, we were all made alive by one breath and one blood. And I think, you know, science, for all of the ways that it has gone, different connections it has taken, different directions it has taken, and connections it has made through searching out things about human beings, it comes back to this conclusion that there is a source of life for all human beings. And something did that. Someone did that. We say that someone did that. And the person of God made that choice to create us to think, to relate, to have a capacity to consider, and to decide and to respond. And so just like that great story, Tweety, officer, soldier Tweety, out of the jungles could use that reflecting, that mirror, to make a point and to communicate to others, and they got the point, and they could rescue him. And we were made to reflect the glory. I mean, he was using the sun, obviously, right?
Yeah, that's how he sent the signals to that ship.
One part of creation was employing another part of creation to communicate to another human being, here I am, come and get me. This is, it's amazing to think about that, isn't it? That's the way God made us to reflect that. And then just the story of Moses, that as he fellowshiped with God, he took on the glory of God. It's like, and then we see in, in the Mount of Transfiguration in the Gospels, we see that Jesus, you know, was glorified before a couple of the apostles, three, James, John, and Peter. And also there was Moses and Elijah, but Jesus was the one that was the fullness of all glory. And, you know, Moses got a taste of it, but because of the nature of sin and how it had infected humanity, he couldn't totally become glorified like that, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't that the meaning of that?
Yeah, no doubt. When you think, Pastor Steve, about, well, let's take some examples that people maybe have heard about. Maybe they're Hollywood actors or politicians that, you know, reach the pinnacle of the political realm. I'm thinking one person comes to mind, Chuck Colson. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, here's a man who worked so hard, so diligently his whole life to become, you know, someone in the political realm that had influence and power and could make an impact. And this was, of course, during the Nixon administration,
yeah,
back in the 1970s. And, you know, he became one of the most powerful men in that administration. But then, of course, you know, it all unraveled. And we're all familiar with the Watergate scandal, at least some of us are. And the rest of you should study history and learn about it. But anyhow, it all collapsed for Chuck Colson. Found himself serving a prison sentence for crimes that he committed. And it was in prison that he came to know Christ. And he said after the fact that that's when his life finally took on meaning and purpose. In other words, it's almost as if prior to that, he wasn't really doing anything of any real value. I mean, I suppose he could look back and say, but even the Apostle Paul, when he thought of his own life from a religious point of view, in Philippians chapter 3, he said, you know, all of those credentials that I possessed, all of those things that I accomplished, I consider it all but nothing but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Hollywood actors. I think of Steve McQueen. You know, he reached the pinnacle of success in the world of, you know, Hollywood. And, you know, when he realized that he was faced with a death sentence, I think it was cancer, he came to know Christ. And finally, he had purpose and meaning in his life and peace with God. I think that too many people are spending their lives trying to find their purpose, their identity in what they do or what they accomplish and their success, but they never discover it. I mean, we learn that, but of course, nobody knows necessarily about our stories, but God himself. But we would never trade this life that we have in Christ, this identity that we now experience through our relationship with Christ, for what we had in the past.
Yeah, that's true. I think we could say that. We've tasted and seen that God is good. And so being made in the image of God, you know, that word is a very common word. If you go into the Hebrew, it's a very common word, what it means. It actually means like icon or idol. It's like God fashioned something from the dust of the earth, so that he could, well, I hope I'm not confusing you too much, but that he could idolize it. And let's think about like the trophies that people put on their shelves and they look at them as accomplishments. God made man in his image in order to present him to the unseen atmosphere. I'm thinking this. That there is a battle that's been raging since the rebellion that precedes the rebellion that happened in the garden. There's another rebellion that we know about. Men are beings not made in the image of God, right? Angels were not made in the image of God. And this could be the personality problem that faces Lucifer, Satan. Why does he accuse man? Because he doesn't have what man has. Psalm 8 is a very good encapsulation of that. When we read that, that it says that the Lord made man a little lower than the angels, but then conferred on man an honor and a dignity that is beyond the angelic realm. So, you know, we will learn maybe at another time and place the theology behind this whole discrepancy and why, you know, what goes on in the unseen atmosphere does what it does and why this rebellion occurred. We'll get to experience that and study that as eternity plays on. But right now, that's like it's just too much for us to handle. I think it's important for us, as you made this clear, Pastor Love, it's important to recognize what we were made for, that we were made for representing God in this world, to care for this world, to recognize that all of nature was made good, and we being a part of the dust of the earth, made from the dust of earth, were made very good, given a capacity and set here by God to operate this way and to live this way and to recognize who he is and what he has given us to enjoy.
Yeah. And what keeps people from doing just that? Pride. Pride keeps us from understanding why God created us. And there are some people, let's be honest about it, basically what they're saying is, I want to be glorified. I believe that's why I exist. Now, these are obviously people who don't acknowledge the reality of God or the fact that they were created by God. But it's kind of like, I exist to glorify myself. When you try to do that, it's like, you know, you were made, let me use this example. You were made to be a screwdriver, but you want to operate like a hammer. It just doesn't work. That's not what you are. That's who you are. So if God said, listen, I did not make you so that you could promote yourself or glorify yourself. I made you so that you could reveal who I am. And it's not until we understand that and embrace that by faith, and you can only do this through a relationship with the one that he sent into the world to bring about a relationship with himself, and that's Christ, that can't happen. So you you will not be at peace. And I often think of that passage in Isaiah chapter 57, I believe it's verse 20, where it says, all those in the world without God, and God refers to them as the wicked, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And then God says, there is no peace, says the Lord to the wicked. But those of us that have come to an acknowledgement of the fact that, listen, I wasn't made for myself and for self-promotion or for self-glorification. I was made to glorify God. When you trust Christ, that peace that eludes people in this world because they don't acknowledge God and don't have a relationship with Him, you discover it. You have it. You experience it. And as we said earlier, you wouldn't trade it for the world.
Amazing. Well, here's a testimony from Dominique in France. Thanks for your message, Pastor Love. While I was listening, this made me think of my wife. She has recently revealed the glory of God in her disease and in her death. And by her accepting the plan of God, her sweetness and peace, she had something greater in her heart than her cancer. I had several non-believers tell me that after her passing, that they have seen a light shining through her. Praise God for this glorious light that shines through us. Yeah, we had this discussion in our Bible study in Dundalk last night. The question was, like, talking about Nicodemus and then the woman at the well, why did the woman at the well have to suffer the way she did in her relationships before she could see who the Messiah was? And I think the brokenness of our bodies and the brokenness of our spirits lets the light in or lets the light out. Here, Dominique's wife, her broken body let the light out to see people, for people to see. And then our brokenness inside of ourselves, it can let the light in when we're broken. It's like Nicodemus needed to be broken in a certain way. And I think we follow that. It took a longer time frame. But I think by the end, I think we can both say by the end of the Gospel of John, we see Nicodemus is broken and believing in this Messiah because he's wrapping his body for burial. He's come out of his hiding place. Whereas the woman immediately responded. She was already to the breaking point. She needed something there. And I think that says a lot to us about like the glory of God shining into us. And, you know, like the question could be like, how do I gain a sense of true worth? Now that woman had been devastated and was just trying to hide out from anyone who would talk about her, going from relationship to relationship to relationship to try and find a sense of freedom, a sense of release. And then Jesus gave her that sense of release. And I think that's the thing is like trying to get to the understanding of the way that God views us and having like thinking about those thoughts, accumulating those thoughts that God has for us. Like, okay, Adam fell, God came to find Adam. Cain murdered his brother, God came and confronted him. Even Hagar was kicked out and she's going to give birth to Ishmael. She was met by the angel of the Lord. And so how, you know, who does God meet? God meets these people. He met this woman at the well in her tortured relationship history. And so I think that's one way to like read the Bible, look at these things. Who did God come to? God came to all of these people distress and despair and their dysfunction, and he met them there. That's amazing. Yeah.
I think the answer as to why, you know, why she discovered this great truth was because of the presence of the one that she found herself in. She was in the presence. If Jesus had not circled that day and time on his calendar to meet this woman, you know, and I know she probably never would have come to that understanding of who he was and an understanding of, well, the importance of leaving behind her water pot, which represented everything in her life that she tried to be fulfilled by, satisfied with. It was never enough. And in this world and what it offers us, it's never enough to meet the deepest needs of our hearts. That only happens when we find ourselves in the presence of God. And she found herself in the presence of Jesus, That makes all the difference. We could say the same thing to those that might ask that same question today. How will I discover my real value? How will I understand my worth as someone that was made in the image and likeness of God? The answer is you stay in his presence. You behold who he is. Not an occasional glance, but a consistent gaze. Christ begins to occupy your field of vision. You look unto him, not with a glance, but that consistent gaze.
Friends, you're listening to the Grace Hour. We have a caller here from Baltimore. Oretta, you are on the Grace Hour today. Hello.
Steve?
Hello, how you doing?
I'm
welcome.
Doing good, praise the Lord. Yeah. You know something, Pastor Love and Pastor Steve? God created us in his own image and his own likeness to worship him, to honor him, to glorify him, to bring him glory and honor and majesty. And when we come to Christ and Christ lives in our heart, every one of us born-again believers have a seal, and our enemy know it right well. The Lord know them that are his, and all of us who belong to Christ, when he comes again and calls us to the valley of the shadow of death, we'll go and reign with him. But while we are on the earth, we are the light and salt of this world. And our glory is seen in our actions, our daily life, living. No matter where we go, our life, Christ has to be seen in us. And our speech, in our going out and our coming in, and everywhere we go, Christ lives and reigns on the throne of our heart. And that's how a believer is supposed to live. Moment by moment, I was in the kitchen sitting up some fish and listening to you all. Yesterday I called, I couldn't get on, and day before I couldn't get on, but I'm glad I'm on this morning. I love you all. I'm praying for you all daily. I love the ministry. I stay in the Word. I search the scriptures daily. So when you come on, and anybody preaching, Pastor Love and Pastor Steve, I'm in the scriptures with you. I'm checking everything you say. My spirit, the Holy Spirit indwell me, so right away you saw something wrong, right away the Spirit bring the word to me. Click. Instant.
Beautiful.
Amen.
That's right. I love you all. I'm praying for you all. Have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. You're listening to the Grace Hour. I got about 10 minutes left here in our show today. Pastor John Love, I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. Let us remind those who are listening and paying attention here, we have something great tonight. Every week, Wednesday, we come together as a church at Greater Grace. We'd love to see you together with us at 7 o'clock tonight. 6025 Moravia Park Drive in Baltimore is the address. Come on out and enjoy the service tonight. So let's talk about the confusion that our world has introduced. The world system has introduced a sense of confusion that really runs totally contrary to everything that's mentioned at the beginning of the Bible. Again, the introduction of the Bible just says God made man in his image, male and female, he made them. And of course, he made male and female different. And the differences there were categorized. And the differences were also to be made, that man would be complete in taking his wife and cleaving to her. I don't think I need to explain that to any of our listeners. But we have suddenly entered a realm of confusion. And where did this confusion come from? Well, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and, I'm listening, tell me, and evil, right? And evil spelled backwards. Evil is live spelled backwards, all right? So it's a twist of things. And people are going on many great adventures, technically supported, and they are going on many great adventures on the dark side of the tree, let's put it bluntly, right? And the consequences of abusing the earth come back to bite man. There's a great story. There's a great story about when wolves were eliminated from, I think it's Yellowstone Park. And the thing that happened was that the deer population multiplied to the point that the deer were eating every every shrub down by the river. And so what did the river become? A muddy mess. So what did the managers of the site do? They reintroduced wolves there. And then the wolves, of course, they are predators. And some of the deer, of course, were consumed. And then the deer started to try hiding away. And what happened? The earth around that river regenerated itself, and no longer did the mud run into it, and the river runs clear now. So I'm paraphrasing that story. So, but that's a sense, like, we abuse the earth and we suffer the consequences. We abuse the body that God gave us, and there's a consequence that happens to it. And we shouldn't be surprised. In the Boston Globe this morning, I think it was, in the Boston Globe this morning or yesterday, there's a big story about the runaway rampant transmitted diseases because of sexual disorder. Let's just put it this way. It's like, so people are not following, they, of course, they are making this state, people are not following safe practices. Okay. I could show you a couple of websites where they say the safest practice is to be a monogamous human being, like have one partner in your life. And that's the way it's going to be. So we shouldn't be surprised that the image that we, when we corrupt the image that we were made in, and we distance ourselves from the natural frame of reference that is really written into humanity and into the creation, we shouldn't be surprised that there are consequences, right?
No, not at all. It's when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, this was the introduction to the darkness. And that darkness has only continued to become darker all the time.
Yeah.
And we keep moving into, and the culture just keeps pressing forward with this darkness, now to the extent that when children are born or they reach a certain age, they're now beginning to question their gender. Listen, Pastor Steve, when you and I were born, it was pretty clear. Our parents understood that we were born as boys, okay?
Yes.
And we even got a birth certificate that indicated that. But now, oh, we can just throw out the possibility of the option, because the darkness is getting darker, that now you have some kind of a choice. Now you can choose your gender, regardless of the fact that you came into this world a particular gender. Now you can choose it. Well, that's like getting up. It's like me saying to our Grace Hour audience today, hey, friends, I'm 25. I'm only 25 years old. You know, someone immediately could respond and say, Pastor Love, you're kidding yourself. You can't just arbitrarily say you're 25. When were you born? And if I gave the date of birth, they would say, well, you're not 25. I would say, yes, I am. It's my choice. Friends, you can't change your gender any more than you can change your age. It is what it is, and you came into this world made by God that way, instead of changing it simply because the darkness is getting darker. Embrace who you are and embrace the God who created you and begin to reflect who he is.
Well, we were having this discussion before. Like, we know that light, if it's compressed to a certain category of intensity, it becomes a laser, and it can blow a hole through. There was one company that we know about. That's how they used to market themselves. They'd take dimes. I don't know if this is abuse. I won't mention the company so they don't get in trouble, but they would put a laser through Franklin Roosevelt's eye in a dime, and then they would go to present their company for certain contracts. This is what our lasers can do. But me and Pastor Love are sitting under fluorescent light right now. It's not blowing holes in our humanity, and it's just falling on us in a different way. So you were created by God. A male was created male. A female was created female for the purpose of God. And the concentration and the focus of who she is as a woman and who I am as a man was designed to flourish in creation, to create that. That's what Psalm 8 says, that is why it's so contended against, is that the birth and the voice of a little child announces something to the demonic atmosphere that God is still making people in his image. He set in motion a process, male and female. They come together. They are fruitful in their relationship, and then they multiply because of the physical thing that happens to that. And of course, it's contended against. And this is, we need to go back to before the fall, see the reality of why God made this, and stop searching out things in the realm of knowledge of good and evil. That's data collection. That's accumulation of information that is just creating a real constant confusion in people. Iron sharpens iron. The iron is that you are who you are. John Love, you happen to be a very good hockey player even at your age, but I don't think the Bruins are signing you up for their first line tomorrow.
Definitely not.
But it is. It's amazing. That's who you are, and it's amazing that you're even playing at this age. And that's great, and I'm sure you enjoy it.
Well, I'm only 25.
I am who I am. The Ravens aren't calling me tomorrow to be their left tackle solution. They need someone much bigger and with more forcefulness, but I am who I am by the grace of God.
Yeah.
And you were made particularly to be who you are, and you can be a laser of light in a dark world. That's my conclusion to today's conversation.
I think the only reason why there's so much confusion about it is because of the darkness.
Yes.
So how do you deal with this darkness? The only thing that dispels darkness is light.
Yes.
And think of what the scripture says, the entrance of thy word gives light. The only way, and by the way, we haven't even begun to see all of the trouble and the problems that are going to result because of this confusion or this choice that people think they have of what gender they believe themselves to be. We haven't even seen it yet. Mm. And when all of that begins to unfold, then we will understand why God created us in his image, and he created man in his image and woman in his image. He created those two genders, and don't confuse them, and don't let the darkness bring you even in a deeper sense of despair. Come to the light and get your answers from God.
Well, friends, we hope you've enjoyed our fiery conversation. We know that God said, let there be light. We know what he did, and we believe that a real healthy identity as a human being begins with recognizing who he is and what he made us to be. We hope that you enjoyed the conversation. Maybe you have some strong opinions about it. That's okay. Turn to God. The Holy Spirit can talk to you. For Pastor John Love, I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. Sebastian Palmieri has been our engineer today. Thank you. Again, join us tonight at Greater Grace Church for a 7 o'clock service. Come on out and be with the body of Christ.